Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to yet another edition of TGP Radio. As always, I'm your host, Vin, and let's get this week one show underway. Regular season is finally here. We have suffered through the preseason and survived and finally made it to some real football. Season kicked off on Thursday with the Steelers and Patriots, and now we shall get to the real meat of the action. This is the first week, and seemingly every game somewhat matters, kind of, sort of. Trying to get through as many of these games as we can, instead of picking and choosing. And, yeah, that'll be that. Might make it, might not make it, but yeah. Regular season here, and what a great, great thing it is. Especially after surviving the preseason, which, I don't know, this preseason seemed to drag on more so than it usually did. Not entirely certain why, but it did. It definitely did. All right. Got a caller here. Put him on, and we shall get into the games. Right there. There we go. And wherever it loads.
Hello. Hello, sir.
How's it going?
Pretty good. All right. Yeah. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. Can't complain. Actual football tomorrow. A bunch of games instead of just one game. Should be a good day. I hope. Maybe. Either way, I mean, there's football, so it can't be that bad a day.
Yeah, man, I don't even know, like, it's been a while, so, pretty excited.
Yeah, so at least with it being the first week, there's hope to be had, and that's a nice thing. I haven't made it far enough into the season for dreams and hopes to be crushed yet. I'm sure that'll come later, but at the very least, you know. Week one, everybody's on an even playing field for the most part, and yeah, always stuff to look forward to. So,
yeah, it's usually like week five by the time all the reality and the dreams have been crushed.
pretty much, yeah. You
week five rolls
around. Yeah.
Yeah, week five rolls around. Your team's like 0-4. You're like, all right.
Yeah. Well. Not our year. Pack it up. Let's look forward to the draft.
That's the thing, though, man. Like, I don't. Like, I'm hoping our schedule's pretty brutal to open up. I mean, so
yes.
I'm hoping even if we do open up 0-4 or 1-3, it isn't the end of the world.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I think if there is, like, you know, like, I mean, if you're going to have a schedule like that, then even if you do open up 0-4, it's not the end of the world. But at the same time, because, I mean, after that, you know, you get, like, the Bucks. Or, I mean, yeah, the Bucks, like, the Jets, you know, Titans twice, Falcons, Texans. You know what I mean? Like, you have some winnable games. But at the same time, it's just, like, that's a pretty rough start if you start out 0-4, man. Like, you gotta steal some. You got to get two.
Yeah. The good news is I think if you expect the fact that we're probably likely going to be 0-4, anything better than that is a win, essentially. So go in expecting the worst and be pleasantly surprised. So hopefully that'll happen.
Yeah, I mean, just gotta hope they win one at least out of the four, and then really a good scenario would be they win two, somehow, and hopefully the first two home games. And then you figure they probably don't got a shot against the Patriots or the Colts, and probably not against
Probably
the
not.
Dolphins either. But maybe they can steal one against the Dolphins. Who knows? Turnovers, crazy stuff happens, and it's a home game. That's the only thing you can hope for if you want to try and steal two, because I don't think they're going to win the other two.
Probably not, no. Yeah, like you said, if they're going to steal two, it's definitely, I think the Dolphins are definitely that case, because who knows? It could also be that the Tannehill and company aren't what we think they could be, and if that's the case, then who knows?
Yeah, I mean they got so many weapons. It is the O line though. That's the big question for them is the O line. But again, at the same time, is like Jacksonville. Like, how are we going to rush the passer at all? You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't think we're going to be able to affect the quarterback that much. And if you can't, good systems like what the or I don't even know if we call it a good system, but like efficient systems. Like the Dolphins run, it's going to eat off you regardless. And then if you say it's good quarterbacks like Brady or Luck, then obviously you're just going to get picked apart. So, I mean, it sucks, man. Why did the number one pick have to, tear his ACL right off the bat? Like, the only hope of, a pass rush reinforcement that you have is, gone immediately.
Just one of those things, fortunately. Not much you can do about it, and it's just just one of those things. But we'll get through it, we'll get over it, maybe. All right, maybe.
All right, so what do we
all
got for
right
these games, man?
yes This week's games, trying to knock every single one of them out. So some of these are fairly trash games, so hopefully I won't be spending too much time on them. But first game, Indianapolis Colts travel to Buffalo and take on the Bills. I think the Vegas line for this is Colts by 2.5 or something silly like that. That just seems incredibly odd to me. See, Colts have only lost to the Bills one time since 2000, and that was when it was the tail end of the season, and Peyton and company had already locked up home field advantage in the playoff spots. That doesn't really count. I just, the Colts aren't very good, but then I have no idea what to expect from Buffalo. You got Tyrod Taylor getting his is that first career start, I think, for him,
Yeah.
which looking at his career trajectory is crazy. But there's that. LeSean McCoy, I don't think is 100%. Last thing I saw said that there's a chance that he's on a pitch count per se. So there's that. It's just there's too many question marks on this Bills team for me to pick them. So I have to go with Indianapolis. Even though I don't think Indianapolis is good, they're just, I expect more from them than I do the Bills.
It's pretty funny because I got kind of the exact opposite prediction is I think the Colts are pretty good, but at the same time I think the Bills are gonna win.
Awesome. Awesome.
I don't I mean I think we saw kind of the recipe last year with the Bills against the Packers, and how they beat the Packers last year in their home field, the Bills. I mean, that defense is obviously a force to reckon with, and that's basically what I'm banking on, I guess. That's the main reason why I picked them. And at the same time, it being early and maybe the Colts just not being on track right away, that's, I don't know, it's a pretty stupid pick, but honestly, it's what I picked. I picked the Bills, but honestly, it's just kind of just basing it off the Bills defense being able to get pressure on Luck and causing turnovers or just all around incompletions or just disrupting the offense basically. And then them being to do enough on offense in terms of just like Tyrod running around and like, you know, completing a pass when they need to on third down to do enough to like, you know, make it happen. But in terms of like a long term thing, I'm not buying the Bills long term with Tyrod. Not yet. Like, I feel like they could definitely like, just because they have Tyrod, they're gonna be able to run the ball better, like with their running backs. Just because they have the running quarterback, obviously, but I mean, I don't know how long that's gonna last. You know, I can see that happen. I can see their offense being pretty effective for like four games, maybe. Like if they're, you know, just if Tyrod's really hitting all cylinders, you know, and they're really utilizing his run threat and, you know, combining that with the running backs plus his passing game. But other, and I feel like the NFL will eventually catch up because they usually do with running quarterbacks like that. But I don't know. I'm just leaning Colts on this one. It's probably more. It'll probably have to do with some like Colts hate. But at the same time, like I feel like it's definitely possible because I mean it happened last year with Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and the Packers. And it can happen to Andrew Luck and the Colts.
Absolutely. Yeah. If I felt better about essentially LeSean McCoy's status and what exactly Tyrod can do, I'd be right there with you. But
yeah.
And there's too many question marks on that offense for me to even comfortably think about picking them. But
yeah,
at the very least,
I can't even
be an interesting game.
Yeah, I can't even disagree with you that either because, I mean, like you said, like McCoy with his health, and then even on top of that, I'm not even really buying McCoy this year in terms of their offense. I'm not sure with their offensive line and him, like how he's going to – run confidently behind that offensive line. I mean, I don't even know how that's going to work. We'll see. But, you know, I'm definitely not sold on the Bills, or especially LeSean McCoy this year in terms of, like, being the type of running back that most people would probably expect him to be. I think it could probably be a lot harder and a lot tougher sledding than people think so this year for him.
Yeah, definitely a possibility. So, should be, like I said, at the very least, it should be an interesting game. So, there's that. All right. Next game, Green Bay Packers traveling to Chicago, take on the Chicago Bears. This is, this is a heck of an opener for the Bears. There's nothing I would love to see more this week. Well, with the exception, I guess, of the Jags win, but for, like, Jay Cutler to just go, you know, insane, throw, like, 7 touchdown passes or something. just something absolutely ridiculously absurd and just smoke the Packers. Unfortunately, that's most likely not going to happen. Bears defense isn't good. Even if the offense can play confidently, you're not going to get anything out of that defense, even with the Packers missing Jordy Nelson and whatever Randall Cobb's status is. I think he's still pretty much good to go, but still.
Yeah, he's
even
a little
with
banged
that,
up.
Yeah, that, it's just a bad matchup for Chicago right off the bat, so I got to take the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really ignore, like, Cutler's record against the Packers. It's really bad. And then you put that on top of just in terms of, like, where the Bears are at this point, too. I mean, there's been word that Adam Gase and Cutler have been on better rapport than he's been on, like, recently, even though they were talking about rosy things with him and Trestman a couple of years ago, too. But, I mean, at the same time, it's just there's not enough there for them to probably beat the Packers, even without Jordy Nelson. You're talking about a more focused team. Like, at the same time, too, I mean, like, we got to see how the Bears are operating, too, at the same time, too. I mean, they're doing this weird injury thing. So, you know, they got John Fox, new coach, obviously, so we'll see how that affects them. If they run the ball more, too, you know, they may depend more on Forte than Cutler, which would be a change of pace. So we'll see how that goes. But, I mean, at the same time, you got to play the percentages here because Cutler's never been good against the Packers. They don't have enough. Like, even Jeffrey's hurt and questionable in terms of their weapons on outside. I mean, who's going to throw? Even Eddie Royal's questionable. So is Marquise Wilson. Like, all three of their top wide receivers. Their three top wide receivers are questionable. I mean,
awesome.
When you're talking about that, like, I mean, it's You don't have a lot of options, though. I mean, it's kind of written in sand. It's just kind of a matter of how much they're going to lose by.
Yep, unfortunately. Yeah, like I said, that's just a really bad luck of the draw for Chicago on opening week, but there's not, I mean,
yeah.
even if it came at a later date, it's still not still not really a good draw, so I don't know, we'll see. I don't expect it to be close at all, but I guess that's why they play the games, but All right, next game, Kansas City travels to Houston to take on the Texans. This matchup is fascinating because I'm not really entirely certain what to expect from either of these two teams. You figure Kansas City's got the defense. It's the offense that always seems to have question marks. You know Jamaal Charles is going to be good, but you kind of got to think what Alex Smith is going to do. Do the Chiefs wide receivers actually catch a touchdown pass this season? That's something interesting to see. So there's that. Is Alex Smith going to be more comfortable throwing down the field? Possibly not, seeing as Alex Smith has never really been comfortable throwing down the field. So there's that. On the Houston side, it's kind of the same thing. The defense is there, but what exactly have you got on offense? You're rolling out there with Brian Hoyer at running – or, excuse me, Brian Hoyer at quarterback. I think Alfred Blue at running back with Arian Foster out. So that is I have no idea what to expect from either of these teams. So by default, I guess I got to go with the Chiefs, although I can very easily see it going either way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this was one of my I think immediately when I picked out which games I had the hardest times on picking this week, this was one of them. I think it was the first one I even named. Because at the same time, there's never like full confidence in Kansas City, you know? Like, you hate that. Like,
yeah.
you want to, but at the same time, you can never have like full confidence in them. And then when you're talking about Houston again, like you said, like, I mean, they're missing the quarterback. It seems like the running game kind of like it keeps, even with Foster being out, it seems like, you know, Blue does a good enough job getting north and south. They're probably going to be somewhat functional running the ball. Plus, they got Chris Polk, who I think is pretty underrated behind him. So I think they'll be okay there. They won't be too bad. KC defense is good, though. So, I mean, we'll see. It's going to be up to, like, if Hoyer is going to be able to make accurate throws against pressure. Because, I mean, you saw him against Jacksonville. Like, he lost to Jacksonville because he couldn't make throws against pressure. If he can't do that, I mean, they can't win. I think Kansas City's going to win because I got more faith in Alex Smith to make throws against pressure than I do Brian Hoyer.
Yep.
But that's why I went KC with this game, just because, I mean, you got to rely on the guys who have got it done before. Plus, they have somewhat improved, at least in terms of, like, weapons, although you could argue offensive line-wise, we don't know what's going on there because they moved Fisher right tackle and Stevenson's at left tackle now. So, I mean, we'll see how that goes. Eric Fisher against J.J. Watt on the right side. I mean, you know. So we'll see how that goes. That could throw a huge wrench into everything. Plus, if Wilfork's effective and if Clowney shows anything. But,
yeah.
I mean, that could throw the wrench in everything. Is if they could just completely disrupt the offense by their defensive line and their linebackers just completely disrupting everything. Because they got a decent enough secondary, or at least I like Kevin Johnson, a draft pick, and Jonathan Joseph. Jonathan Joseph. And so, I mean, they're decent on defense, but, it's, you know, if they're going to be able to do anything on offense, especially against Kansas City, I don't – that's why I got to go with Kansas City. I don't think they'll be able to muster much on offense.
Yep, I agree. All right, next game, our game, Carolina Panthers. Travel to Jacksonville, take on the Jags. This is like we've been saying, the one game that I actually have hope about. I think we can win. Now, granted, whether we do win is a different story, but I think the biggest question marks, honestly, with this is what Carolina's offense is going to do. That's kind of my biggest question mark because there's not a ton of weapons there for Cam. Not that there necessarily has been in the past either, but, you know, you're without Kelvin Benjamin. Funchess is who knows what you have in Funchess at the moment. So I guess the main target is Greg Olsen, the tight end. So, I mean, at least you have for them one solid target. But outside of that, it's a bunch of question marks. And that's the biggest thing. If Cam is able to actually get production, then I think we're essentially screwed. But if he struggles a little bit, I think that's going to absolutely open the door up for us to win. You've got to hope that the regular season Bortles looks like preseason Bortles did, which I think won't really have any problem with that. Hopefully we can get a run game going. But I'm going to take Carolina in this just because. I definitely think this is our best shot of the opening three, and I hope we win. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough call because of that front seven, man. You know, like, if their defense, like, if, like, their linebackers weren't as baller as they were, like, it'd be a lot easier to be like, yeah, like, you know, we could pull this out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that really, their linebackers scare me in terms of their running game. Like, I feel like, you know, like, I don't, because, man, like, and like, I'm really not confident with them just naming Yeldon the starter. Just
yeah.
Like that. I mean, he had 8 carries in the preseason. And I don't want them to, like, be stubborn with it if he doesn't succeed right away, you know? I want them, See, like, it's so hard to call. Like, there's so many questions in this game. I'm just rolling with the home team because I'm just going full homer. But I mean, it could easily go either way. I mean, like you said, like, that's the biggest question mark is what Carolina's going to do on offense, and especially like Jonathan Stewart came on at the end of last year. He really did.
Yep.
I mean, the guy has been a disappointment his whole career, but he really did come on at the end of last year. He actually performed like he did when he was coming out the draft and people were trying to project him into the NFL. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I mean, they'll do the read option with Cam and Jay Stu and Cameron Sardis Payne, rookie out of Auburn. So we'll see how that goes, but that's really the key. I mean, like, what are they going to show in terms of that trio there, because I mean, we obviously know they got questions with the wide receivers, got rapport with Olsen. No, that's going to be good. And Jaguars haven't been able to cover tight end for decades. It's going to eat. But as far as the other way, like how else is that going to happen? That's the biggest question. I'm like, that's going to decide the game probably right there, because I figure we're not going to be able to run the ball like too great. Like, even if we do okay, like, I mean, that's, you know, I don't think we're going to do great running the ball. I mean, just because it's Carolina, like, I figure their linebackers are just too good and their front seven is just too good for us to be able to run the ball that good. So, Bortles is going to have to make plays with his arm. And I'm just hoping for turnovers, man. Honestly, I'm just hoping that, like, you know, they're just like, Carolina's like, you know, we're missing our guys, we're sloppy, we're out here, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping.
Yep.
It's a prayer.
Yeah. That's really all we can do is hope.
It's
but,
the only game I think we need to win this one, man. That's really, really what it's down to. We need to win this game.
Gotta win, gotta at least get one under the belt because it's not going to get
this
easy.
This is the worst team
here on out.
Four. This is the worst team the first four. We need to win it. Please do it.
and that sucks because that's not even, you know, I mean, yes, it's the worst team, but it's not like, you know, we're playing like the Browns or something.
They were a playoff team last year. Yeah,
I know. I know. It's,
I mean,
like,
they didn't lose more games than
bad.
They won, but
oh,
at the same
man.
Time.
No. Gotta love the NFC South. Gotta love it.
Yeah. I don't even know who's going to win that this year, man. Like, I picked the Falcons, but I have no clue.
Yeah, I picked Carolina before Benjamin went down. I'm still sticking with Carolina, but I don't think that's certainly not a safe pick anymore. Well, not that it was ever safe, but it's just
Yeah,
that
I have no idea.
yeah. I got nothing. Got nothing. All right, man. All right, great game right here. Cleveland
Ooh.
Browns taking on the New York Jets. Yeah. Yeah. So what do we got? Josh McCown going up against Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah, that is.
Clash of the Titans.
Yes, that is absolutely amazing. Let's see here. I got to go Jets, I think, on this, just for the sheer fact that McCown is not very good. And, yeah, I don't know. On one hand, Roland Fitzpatrick out there gives me absolutely zero hope. The Jets running game doesn't give me a ton of hope either. For the sake of my fantasy teams, I'm going to need Chris Ivory to step up and be a beast this season. Going to need that to happen. Probably won't happen. Probably end up cutting him in a few weeks, but, you know.
Just need him healthy, man. Like, he doesn't even need to be a beast. Just keep him healthy. Like,
yeah.
That's his number one problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, I think last season, or maybe it was preseason, he had a very good preseason, so there's that. Cleveland,
yeah.
Again, you're rolling out Josh McCown. I have no idea who's starting at running back for Cleveland. I know they've got some injuries there. I know, I think Duke Johnson is ready to go. So I think his first action this preseason, because he was dealing with some concussion issues. So there's that. This is a terrible game. I'm going to take the Jets. That's terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, what it comes down to is it's like, do you think Jason, do you think McCown's going to be able to win the game in New York? Like, and the answer is no. You know, like, I mean, because the Jets are going to be good enough defense to at least minimize some of the damage running-wise from Cleveland, because they're not going to respect the pass. So, and plus they got Revis. You know?
Yeah, I just now remember.
They're
going to
be like,
Revis,
okay, dude, like, will this be one-on-one pass-wise? If you want to run the ball, be my guest. You know, like, and that's what's going to happen. Is the Browns are going to try and do something on offense, and nothing's going to happen. Like, it's going to be pretty tough sledding offense-wise for the Browns. Then the Jets it's going to be tough for them probably on offense too, but they'll find some cracks here and there and they'll score a little bit, and that's just going to happen. The Jets are just going to – the Browns defense is just a little bit worse than the Jets defense, and that's going to be the difference in the game.
Yeah, that's just Yeah, I guess, let's see, at wide receiver, I guess the Browns are rolling out Brian Hartline and Andrew Hawkins.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's right. Wasn't Dwayne Bowe even talked about, like, were they even talking about, like, cutting him?
I have no idea, but, you know.
Apparently so, man. Like, apparently, like, it's, like, he's been, like, it's been going so bad with Dwayne Bowe with the Browns, like, that it's just.
How,
you know what I mean? Like,
how,
that's crazy.
How bad is it with Dwayne Bowe and the Chiefs that the Browns are an upgrade over your previous situation? How bad?
I know. I know.
No,
you can't even beat
Chiefs
out wide receivers on the Browns.
Yeah, I was with the Chiefs, and they never threw me the ball, so I'm going to go over up here to the Browns. Yeah, because that just makes total sense. Total sense. That's just, poor Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah, he really needed to go to, like, he really needed to, like, take less money and just go to a team with a good quarterback to just save his career.
Yeah.
Because it's
go to
not
a team
working,
with Josh
man.
McCown.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not. I mean, you would expect that. Okay, you're in Kansas City. You had a good couple years, but the past couple years have been, you know, terrible. Partly because of you, partly because of Alex Smith, and you'd think, you know, oh, hey, I'm going to go to a team with an actual quarterback, and instead, nope, I'm going to go to a team that's held by Josh McCown and or Johnny Manziel. Yeah, that's not probably not the best career move, but who knows? Maybe it'll work out. Probably won't, though. Probably won't.
Man, first Jags home game I went to, Luke McCown was the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
9/11/2011. That's when it was.
Was that? Let's see. Was that?
It was before
that
Blaine
Panthers?
Ever started a game for the Jags.
Yeah. Was that? Was that Panthers or Jets? Because
It was the Titans. We won the game. I'm undefeated.
Okay. Right.
It was
right,
the opener. It was the opener.
Yeah. That's right. Because
we won. We won like 13-10.
Yeah. Yeah, so you drafted Blaine and we're like, okay, we're gonna sit Blaine the entire season. He's gonna learn. And then you rolled McCown out there. McCown won. Okay, so you win the first game and thinking, all right, we might actually be all right.
Yeah.
And then the next week comes and McCown
throws four interceptions.
Four picks and then the coaching staff is like, you know what? Screw it. We're just gonna throw Blaine in there after one poor performance from McCown. So yeah. Yeah, and that, as they say, is that.
That's all she wrote.
Man, gotta love knee-jerk reactions, especially, you know, and it's hilarious, especially considering how Blaine turned out after that. It's just like, you know, maybe if you would, you know, not completely just yanked McCown after one game, that things would have turned out differently. But, nope.
Maybe if you taught this kid how to play quarterback before you put him out there.
Hey, kid, want to play? Sure. Okay, you're in. Oh, man. Well, at least times are better.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're going to draft him, you're drafting him as a project. And if you're drafting him, like, treat him like a project, you know? Like, don't fucking throw him out there to the wolves.
Yeah. Yeah. At least we kind of learned our lesson with Blaine a little bit, Bortles, and the fact that we, you know, waited at least halfway through the season when the ship had already sank and was on the bottom of the ocean before we said, okay, here, go throw the ball around a little bit. But, yeah, fun times. Fun times. All right. All right, next game, and this has at least the potential to be a good game. It probably won't be just because. Seattle Seahawks take on the St. Louis Rams. In St. Louis, this is an interesting game just because St. Louis, for whatever reason, always gives Seattle fits. So there's that. Unfortunately, I'm not really expecting much from the Rams, at least in this game. The defense is still there, so that's good. Unfortunately, you swapped out Sam Bradford for Nick Foles. Not a fan of that at all. And running back, it seems like every single one of the St. Louis Rams nine starting first-round picks at running back are banged up. I think Trey Mason's banged up. Todd Gurley is banged up, and did I see something that they're running with Benny Cunningham?
Yep.
It is the potential starter for this?
Yep.
Yeah.
They made my pick pretty easy too.
I've seen zero. Rams preseason games, not that you can judge much from preseason games, so I haven't seen a ton of Nick Foles at all, but until I see him in actual game action and figure out whether or not he's going to be terrible, I can't take the Rams, especially with the Seahawks. I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Benny Cunningham as the starting running back. I watched preseason with Nick Foles and everything. And, you know, Foles is Foles. I mean, like, I've never been a huge fan of Foles. Like, even when he was in Philadelphia, they people cite the touchdown to interception ratio, but at the same time, the dude has missed a ton of open wide receivers, and there's a lot of problems with his game. He's not a terrible quarterback, but at the same time, he's not a great quarterback. You know, he's kind of just like a dude. And I do agree. I think he actually is worse than Sam Bradford. I don't think he's an upgrade at all. And I don't. You're talking about Benny Cunningham and him against the Seattle defense. I mean, even without Cam Chancellor, it's not going to happen. I understand that. Again, at the same time, like you said too, like, they do play him tough. They really do. Like, they always do.
Like every single time.
Yeah. So I mean, you're going to figure, like, they're division opponents. They know them. They're probably going to exploit some mistakes. They'll probably get, like, some turnovers or something and make things closer than you probably think they're going to be. But at the end of the day, Seahawks are going to pull away. There's much more talented team. It's just going to happen eventually at one point, unless it just goes complete disaster mode. But, yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Definitely agree. All right, so that's not going to be a good game at all. And this next game is also not going to be a good game at all. Miami Dolphins travel to Washington to take on the Washington Redskins. I'm going to go ahead and preface this and say that if the Dolphins somehow manage to lose to the Redskins, they just need to pack it up for the rest of the season. Just, you know, everything just needs to be forfeit. You go back to the drawing board, prepare for the draft, maybe have a good draft, and then we'll see you next season, because that shouldn't happen. Should not happen. The one bright side is the Redskins quarterback. I think that gives them a little bit more stability at that position than rolling RG3 out there. But with that said, it's just that defense. There's far too many question marks. That defense isn't any good at all. On offense, again, Kirk Cousins gives them more stability. Alfred Morris is solid. I'm curious to see how much play they also give Matt Jones, because that's a name I've seen bandied about that could be interesting. But Miami has no business losing this game, and if they do, they just need to just forfeit the rest of the season, because that's terrible.
Yeah, they're my suicide pick, or, you know, like,
they're mine too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a team I would bet. If there was a game this week where they're like, all right, you got to bet the winner or else you're going to die, I'd be like, all right, Miami against Washington. I don't see it from any angle ever. Like, other than turnovers, I mean, Miami's just going to have to just completely drop the ball, literally. And just completely fumble the ball every time they get it handed off to them to lose this game.
Yep.
Washington's got a more solid run defense than people realize, but at the same time, like you said, like, they're not going to stop anybody passing the ball. And then, there's just so much turmoil with that team, and you're talking about the quarterback, and, like, I feel bad for people that drafted Alfred Morris in fantasy too, because he's going to be worse with Cousins than he probably would be with RG3. It's just bad all around, man, in terms of their offense. Like, I have no faith in Cousins. I have no faith in RG3. And I think it goes, like I said, I think the running game goes worse once they go to Cousins. So, I don't know, man. He'll be able to pass more, but, yeah, they got no shot. That's my survival pick. It's Miami all day by double digits.
Yeah, it's just mm-mm. Yeah, if Miami loses, that's terrible.
Yeah, if they lose, like you say, if they lose, Chase Sylvan has a lot to answer to if they lose that game. Holy shit.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. I kind of want to skip some of these games so we can at least get Sunday night. And I guess these next couple are interesting enough. All right, New Orleans Saints travel out to Arizona to take on the Carson Palmer-led Cardinals. This is interesting. I'm not entirely certain what to really expect from either of these teams. You figure with the fire sale that that the Saints had in the offseason, really diminishes both the Saints' offensive line and the weapons that the Breeze has to deal with. On the Arizona side, you get Carson Palmer back and healthy. That's helpful. Michael Floyd is, I think, questionable. I think at this point, since he completely dislocated fingers, I'm not entirely certain how you dislocate fingers and have them poke through the skin. Not entirely certain how you do that, but that's not not good. It's not good at all. Running game, I don't really know what to expect from Andre Ellington, despite drafting him in just about every single one of my fantasy leagues, just essentially because he was there. I have no idea where to go with this. I guess I'm going to take Arizona just on the strength of hopefully their defense, and mainly because I don't know what to expect from the Saints' offense. I really don't. So, yeah, maybe the Cards, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Cardinals have one of the better home field advantages in terms of teams out there. And like you said, like their thing is like pressure. You know what I mean? Like the main thing with Breeze is getting pressure on Breeze. If you get pressure on Breeze, you completely disrupt the offense. And I'm definitely rolling with Arizona. I feel like they're going to be able to get enough pressure on Breeze. Offensive wise, too, I feel I'm going to be starting John Brown in fantasy. So I need to see my boy. I need to see him eat. And I feel like you will. I mean, they're talking him up a lot, man. Like Larry Fitzgerald is like pulling him off to the side and like holding him up like he's like the next coming, you know? Like they're like basically calling him like Marvin Harrison, you know? So I mean, we'll see if he has that type of year this year. We'll see how that goes. I mean, I'm just going mostly off, like, the pressure in terms of the defense-wise. And I figure offensive-wise, like, obviously New Orleans struggled a lot last year. And I don't see any reason why it will be improved a lot this year, or this game, at least, because Keenan Lewis is out too, their best corner. They have some key dudes that are out. And against Arizona, I mean, like, they got Fitz, you know, and they got John Brown. They got some weapons out there. They got Ellington out the backfield. Like, you can't afford too many losses, and I don't think they have enough on defense to stop their offense. And I think their defense will do enough to disrupt their offense to where they're going to come out to win home field advantage. I got Arizona.
Okay. All right, we've got like a minute left, so I'm going to kind of go rapid fire through these last games just to get them all in. Detroit. Detroit is traveling out to San Diego.
Ooh.
This is probably going to be, at the very least, perhaps one of the better games of the week. I'm going to take Detroit in an upset.
Ooh.
Kind of an upset.
Yeah, I got the Chargers just probably because Philip Rivers is my fantasy quarterback.
Yeah. All right, there we go. Baltimore traveling to Denver. I am scared for Peyton Manning's life. His arm is he's going to go drop back for a pass, and his arm is just going to completely detach itself from his body. With that said, though, I am still taking him, but it wouldn't surprise me at all to see the Ravens win.
I got the Broncos. I feel like their defense is going to be too good for the Ravens' offense. I feel like they're going to be definitely making Flacco's life a living hell.
Yep. All right, Bengals travel to Oakland. Bengals win.
I got Bengals, too. I mean, I can't buy the Raiders yet, especially against Bengals' defensive line.
Yep. Now we'll skip this just so I can get this in for Blue. Giants take on Dallas. Dallas wins. I think it can